Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. Here I sit at my bar, belly up with me. I'm sitting here with my big Yeti cup. That's actually... people at Yeti should get in touch with me, man, and advertise here. Actually, if any of you guys want to advertise here, please just drop me a note on Twitter at Williamson NFL. I love my Yeti cup, man. I always have a gigantic ice water sitting here whenever we chat every day. And today is Twitter Tuesday. Tomorrow we have a special guest. We're going to talk some draft. And Thursday and Friday is going to be all about the Super Bowl. So, at RedXABI141. Okay. Matt, Sanu went to Rutgers at the same time as three of the Patriots' defensive backs. Advantage Patriots? I picked this one out of the crowd. There's a lot of tweets today, by the way. Thank you. That's awesome. Because I don't know the answer, first of all. I would think that favors the defense more than the other way around. But there is certainly has to be a familiarity. I mean, these guys had to go against each other in practice all the time. And... you know, the spring game and battling it out, and maybe they were recruited together. I didn't do that much homework on it. But I picked this one because I wanted everyone to know that, you know, in case it hasn't come out yet, that a lot of these guys will be doing battle against their college teammates, you know, directly. So I think that's a cool thing to look at here with the matchup with Sanu, you know, that McCourty and, you know, the couple of these defensive backs are going to be highly, highly familiar with them, which, good, 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 good. Jay at JPEG asks, Broncos offseason, is the free agency market and draft better set up to sign a guard, draft a tackle, or sign a tackle, draft a guard? Well, I'm with you, Jay, that they need both. It would be great to get two. I do think they're going to need two starting linemen in Denver. They could move on from guys like Okun, too. So, you know, they're going to be struggling for starters. And where I'm sitting now, we'll talk free agency coming up here heavy, probably starting next week. Maybe we'll go position by position. It doesn't sound like to me there's a wealth in either department. There do see some linemen, you know, like a Freeney, that would be late first round considerations for Denver. A little early for me to answer that, though. I mean, but I do think that I wanted to bring this one up just because I do think Denver needs both. Charles asks, for Twitter Tuesday, if you are GM of the Raiders, would you re-sign Latavius Murray? I know you're not a fan, but other options. A lot of other options. You know, I mean, Eddie Lacy's a free agent. I think I'd rather have Eddie Lacy than Murray, although they're close. You have the two young guys, the receiving types. I mean, I think obviously the need, whether it's Murray, Lacy, a free agent, or a draftable player, has to be a big back. You know, you're not looking for another scat back. You're not looking for a Gio Bernard type. You're looking for a hammer behind that big offensive line. And there's several of them in this draft class. I mean, you might get Leonard Fournette in the first round. I mean, backs fall. I would, you know, you'd maybe Dalvin Cook you'd love too, although he's more, he's not as much of a pounder, a bruiser. But there's quite a few of them. I think I would, you know, that question's always weird. Would you re-sign Latavius Murray? Well, I'd talk to him, you know, to see what he wants. I can't give him a ton of money. I'm not a fan. I'm really not. I mean, I don't think I would give him his asking price is really the end all of this question here is I probably would not pay him what he probably deserves and probably what he will get at some point in the, you know, in the process. So I think you go elsewhere. It's an interesting question here from Ryan Chastain. Nick Foles is due $10 million, which I didn't realize, if the Chiefs pick up his option. Are they picking him and Smith, or should he and shouldn't he be sought after? I didn't read that quite right, and I'm not sure if you wrote it quite right. But let's just analyze the Chiefs quarterback situation. I feel like they're in no man's land with Smith, and this year is basically their ceiling, and they could repeat that over and over. But unless they have a Broncos-like 2015 defense to carry them, I can't see them getting past this level that they've got to with Smith, at least not repeatedly. Is Foles any better? Probably not, but he's intriguing and Reed's very familiar with him, and he has tolls, and Foles has tolls. But boy, $10 million. See, I didn't know that. You know, that all of a sudden you're looking at it like, what if we trade Alex, let Foles go, make an offer for Garoppolo, or go sign Glennon, or draft somebody in the first round? I almost think maybe that's just the golden opportunity to let's just blow this whole position up, you know, and the rest of the team is pretty well set. You know, maybe you can really dedicate your resources to getting somebody you really like, or you go with Foles in a first round pick. Romo certainly could be an option. Romo in a first round pick. That one's interesting. I mean, if it wasn't $10 million, I think it'd be an easy choice. Is, yeah, let's bring him back, you know, and maybe he competes for the starting job, even if it's against Smith or against a rookie or something like that. My hunch is they'll probably, what I think will happen is they will probably go with Smith again, be the conservative route, let Foles walk for $10 million, and somebody will be interested in him, and he'll make money this offseason to the Bears or the Browns or something like that. Yeah, like he followed it up and said, seems odd that they would pay a backup $10 million. Seems likely that Smith or Foles should be available for teams like Cleveland, San Francisco. And yeah, and I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, I think one of those two won't be back. And then therefore, Kansas City should still bring in somebody else, though. Sweater Cat asks, what would be all the ramifications if Washington decides to franchise Cousins again? With the second year in a row of getting franchised, you get a big bump. You get a big raise. From what I understand, Cousins would then be making $24 million this year. And franchise money is guaranteed. If he plays it down, if he gets cut, if he gets hit by a truck, I mean, he would be getting that $24 million and then becomes a free agent after the season. That would then give you an extra 365 days to analyze, scout, evaluate him, and talk extension, you know, and Cousins could look at it as, hey, I'll take $24 million guaranteed. It's not $70 million guaranteed that I would be getting, but I do get to become a free agent after the season. And then the other thing, and there's been a lot of talk about this, is you could franchise them and then trade them. And then new team, San Francisco is the one that's mentioned a lot, they could work out a long-term deal with them before the trade. You know, if you're Washington and you say, we're going to franchise them, and it also buys you time. I mean, you can franchise them when the date comes out. You have all that time until the season to talk long-term deal, tear up the franchise tag. So they're going to do that. You know, if they don't come into a long-term plan, they're not just going to say, okay, Kirk, you're a free agent. Best of luck. Maybe we'll sign you. Maybe somebody else will outbid us. So that's going to happen. And I would be awfully entertained by San Francisco saying, hey, you can have the second overall pick, and we'll take Cousins, sign him to a long-term deal. You know, Shanahan looks at him like he's a Matt Ryan type and fortifies that position where Washington might be a little unsettled. Do I want to keep him or not? Then you have $24 million to go spend on the open market. Go get a guy like Mike Glennon, who actually Fantasy Alpha brings up here. You know, is Mike Glennon the solution at quarterback for anyone? I'm intrigued with Glennon. I'm a little intrigued with Foles now, too. Big, strong-arm guy, Glennon. I thought he was good as a rookie, better than expected. Haven't seen a lot of him since. You know, but what if you're Washington and you say, okay, I can move Cousins for the second overall pick sign Glennon for half of that. Use the rest of that money on a defensive lineman and a linebacker or whatever your heart desires, or to keep DeSean Jackson or whatever. You have the second overall pick, draft a quarterback either at 2 or when you're first rounder or maneuver around to get the guy you want. So basically the deal in the end would end up being, you know, Cousins for Glennon, 2 other starters, and DeSean Kizer, or whoever your heart, you know, whoever you like. That's a pretty good deal, you know, when you consider the money and all those things. And if you're not positive he's the answer and you can make a deal like that, I think that's really intriguing. All right. Bravo asked me the thoughts on Moncrief in 2017. I'm still a big believer. A lot of talent there. I think Moncrief will be fine is the short answer. A lot of ability. I wouldn't be too worried about him. You probably heard my phone ringing in the background. Sorry about that. But that was the people here locally from Steelers Radio informing me they want me to go to the Combine this year, which sounds great to me. So you guys heard it here first before I told my wife or anybody. So I'm going to make some arrangements of getting kids on buses and things like that. But it'd be great to go down there and we'll do a show from there and go from figure it out. But as you can tell, that was first I heard. Anyways, Scott Backus asked, 3 years from now, we'll say that the John Lynch hiring in San Francisco was ? Fill in the blank. I don't know. I don't know. Really an odd situation. I told you we would talk about it a little bit. Here's what I gather. Shanahan's going to take the job. We got on Shanahan, you know, why would you take this Niners job? It's a terrible gig. Well, it's 1-32. It pays really well. They're going to give him a 6-year deal as they did Lynch. And from what I understand, they basically told Shanahan, you can hand pick your GM and that Shanahan's going to have total control of the organization, much like a Belichick or somebody like that. So that's pretty appealing. I mean, if you actually believe they're going to give you several years to turn this thing around, totally build the thing in your likeness, pick out your GM who's got a defensive-minded background. And I don't know if John Lynch is good or not, but I think he's really knowledgeable. He's a smart dude from Stanford. I love the way he played. Does that mean he's going to be a good GM? I don't know, but, you know, I also think that doesn't mean he can't do it, especially if he's not the final decision maker. If he's just organizing the scouting staffs, has a really strong cap guy to handle a lot of the things with him too, you know, that would go a long way with me. So I get it. You know, I mean, I think he would compliment Shanahan well and kind of learn on the job, but he seems, you know, awfully bright, you know, a hard worker, all those things, you know, lend itself to working out, but I'm not predicting anything. I mean, that's a brutal job to take over. I will say that at least, I gave the Browns credit last year, at least if they have a plan in place. I'm very interested to see what the Niners' plan is. Maybe they do something along those lines and do a total rebuild, which they need to do. And, you know, would they be after a Cousins? I don't know. It'd be interesting. Ryan Dean asked, will the Falcons fall back to mediocrity when Shanahan leaves for San Francisco? I believe they will. I don't know about that. I mean, I think he's excellent. My hunch is they will promote from within to keep the train on the tracks and rolling along. I would hope that is the case. But I don't know. I mean, will they stay as healthy this year? They had some pretty good luck on that side of the ball with health. I'm a believer in Ryan. I was a believer in Ryan before the season. I'm certainly a believer in Julio. I don't think the offense will change much. Maybe they draft a guard rather high to challenge Chester. I would think it's mostly a defensive offseason. They don't have a lot of impending free agents. I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where I won't be picking the Falcons to win their division next year. So he'll be a loss. I mean, I'm sure he will be, but I'd like to know more about who they're gonna bump up or give that job to. Holy Catfish Esquire asks, Pete Carroll has said the Hawks are fine with their O-line. I think that's BS. Any chance they make a move for a left tackle like Whitworth? Whitworth's going to be really expensive. That would be awesome, though. I mean, that's a great landing spot for him. You would think he'd eat that up. You know, let's go win something. Complete that line. I do think the line's bad, but I believe in their line coach. And they've used picks there, though. I mean, it's very young. I mean, it's real rough on them to say they use by far the smallest amount of cap space on offensive linemen in the league. And they do. I get that. But they have been using draft picks lately, a first rounder this past year, and I'm sure this next draft will be loaded with them too. So it's a young group that has some chance, you know, it has some potential. There certainly isn't a stud or even a stud prospect there. So it is concerning, there's no doubt. But and I do believe it is BS. They're not going to say, oh, we're just happy with this guy's here. I don't know their cap situation off the top of my head, but Whitworth would be a great fit. Ideal to grab a left tackle or an offensive tackle, period, a vet, and just plug them in and say, boom, you know, we got one starter taken care of. The rest of you guys will work your way out. That's pretty impressive. You know, pretty interesting. I like that. FaZe John Mitchell asks, how would the Patriots have done this year with their current roster but an average coach? I think this might be Belichick's best coaching job of his career this season. You know, they didn't have a first-round pick. That's a big deal. They haven't had Gronk forever. They didn't have Brady for four games. You know, they have had some injury luck, though, too. Like, their offensive line, they lost Vollmer really early in the year, but has been totally healthy since. The rest of the crew has been reasonably healthy, too, on offense. You know, Brady didn't have any issues. Bennett's been dinged up. And on defense, they've stayed pretty healthy, too, and they rotate a lot of players. With an average coach, I mean, that's a hard thing to quantify, but I would think a win or two different. I mean, I think they would still probably win their division. But, boy, I think he's done a heck of a job with some extenuating circumstances that are hard to overcome, and he has. Chad Tanney asks, do you think the Pats will play more man-to-man or disguise their zone play? We'll talk about this later in the week, but I think it'll be a lot of man coverage. And I've written a lot of articles recently. Go check out my Twitter feed. I've been pumping out articles hinting about my thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl and some matchups and things like that. I actually think, as great as the Falcons' offense is, that New England matches up pretty well. I really do. I don't think that they're going to be... I mean, they're going to let up points. They're not going to shut them out. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I think that they do hold up pretty well. Folks, that is a wrap for today. That is good stuff. Get some more Twitter questions next week, I'm sure. Probably go back to Twitter Thursday. But Twitter Tuesday is just as enjoyable. Over and out. Tomorrow we will be talking draft with a special guest. Tune in.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.